Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Teacher of another hour, and we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to invite you to come and to go with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. God, we lift your name up high. We give you all of the praises, all the glory, and all of the honor. We just thank God because, God, you are God and God all by yourself. We ask thee even now, God, to have your way. We ask thee, God, to touch the lives of your people. God, we pray, God, even now that they will not remain the same, but, God, that you, God, will work in them, and, God, that you will call them, God, to come forth, God, that you will call restoration, God, to be manifested in them. God, those are not saved. We ask thee, God, to save and to deliver. God, those, God, that don't know the power of you, God, call them miraculous, call them supernatural, God, to be manifested in them, Father God. Lord, let them see, God, that there is nothing too hard for you. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. And we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We're getting ready to go into the Word of God today. We are excited about what God is doing today and every day. For the Word of God says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth." He said that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, "Whom the Son has made free is free indeed." So we are excited about the word of God because the word of God brings about freedom. The word of God calls us no longer to be in bondage if we apply the word of God to our lives. This morning we're getting ready to speak the unadulterated, uncompromising word, and that word is coming from the Holy Bible. If you want to find us this morning at the book of Luke, that seventh chapter of Luke. And my question is to you today, is there anything too hard for God? And we're going to begin reading at that first verse. "Now when he had ended his saying in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent to him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy to whom he should do this. But he loved our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. And when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, 'Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter into my room. Therefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed.'" Look at what the Lord is showing us today. Look at what God will do and what God can do. You see how God, when the elders was sent to Jesus and they were telling him about the centurion and how the centurion, how he was worthy and how he had built them a synagogue. They seen in this man that he was a good man, the man that did good things and good deeds. And when the centurion let us know centurion had a servant that was very dear to him. You know, sometimes when there is a special connection, sometimes there is a divine connection. There's sometimes when we are connected to different people, and there is a love that we have towards them. There is a connection. There is a something that binds you together. There's something on the inside that you have. You may have known this person for a certain length of time. So therefore, you're devoted to this person. You are concerned about this person. You care what happened to this individual, of this purpose, of this person. But we see here in the Word of God how the centurion was concerned about his servant. And he knew, and his servant, the Word of God tells us that this servant was dear to him. And the servant was sick, and the servant was ready to die. But when the centurion, when he heard of Jesus, then he sent the elders. This is when he sent the elders of the Jews and beseech him that he would come and that he would heal his servant. He didn't want his servant to die. He wanted him to live and not die. But what I marvel is that the centurion, he had enough faith to believe that Jesus could heal his servant. I want to know this morning, do you have enough faith to believe that God can heal the servant? God can heal your body. God can heal those that are in your family, your neighbors, those on your job, those that you go to church with. Do you have enough faith to believe that he can do this thing? We see that the centurion, he had a connection to this servant. The word tells us that the servant was dear unto him, and he did not want him to die. So he didn't just wait there. He knew that he didn't have the power to do it. So therefore, he knew that Jesus was there, and he sent for Jesus to come and to heal his servant, because the servant was sick, and the servant was at the point that he was going to die. So when they had went to Jesus, and they told Jesus about this centurion, what kind of man he was, he told them how he, as we said before, how he had built a synagogue for them. He wasn't somebody that was that came against them, a mean type man, a man that didn't care about them. But it seems like the elders was speaking on behalf of the centurion to Jesus, because they wanted Jesus to know what kind of man that sent them to him. Now, it wasn't that Jesus didn't know who it was. It wasn't that Jesus didn't know who was going to be coming to him. It wasn't that Jesus was completely in the dark about the centurion, about his servant, about even the elders that were going to come and approach him. I don't believe that he was in the dark. I believe that Jesus knew that the elders were going to be sent to him on behalf of the centurion. And they began let's begin to read there in that sixth verse again. Let's go to that fifth verse, and it says that he loved our nation. He loved our nation. He loved the people. And because he loved the people, he built us a synagogue, a place of worship. And Jesus went with them. He didn't have to go, but he went with them. And when he was now not far, as the word says, from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter into my room." I mean, they've already talked to Jesus about the man. They already had said what a good man he was and what he did. But this man was compassionate. This man was humble. He didn't think of himself as being somebody as being in a position where in that, oh, Jesus, I'm somebody, so you come and you heal my servant. But no, he was so humble. Yes, he sent the elders to Jesus. But when he began to think about, you know, he was thinking like, I'm not worthy that Jesus, come on, that Jesus should come under my roof. He thought within himself, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to enter into my, come under my roof. And he said, therefore neither thought I myself worthy to come to you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He said, for I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that follow him, he said, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus seen the faith of this man. Number one, he sent the centurion. I think the centurion sent the elders to see whether Jesus asked him to come and to heal his servant. And after they had gone, and the man had a chance to think about it, he thought, well, oh my goodness, I'm not worthy that he shall come under my roof. He said, but if you just speak the word, if you just speak the word, my servant shall be healed. How many of us can just say within ourselves, you know, I'm not in California, but I know somebody in California is sick. Somebody is ill. Somebody needs to be delivered. I'm not in Texas, but I know that there is somebody that needs to be healed. I know there's somebody that needs to be delivered. There's somebody in Jacksonville, Florida, that needs a healing, that needs a deliverance, that needs to be healed of a disease that may kill them if they don't get a healing. But this man had so much of faith in Jesus Christ. He said, just speak the word. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. You don't have to come, but just speak the word. I know that you got so much of power. I know that you have the authority. I know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. So he wanted Jesus to just to speak the word. And if he just spoke those words in behalf of his servant, that his servant will be healed. And then when we began to read in the word of God, Jesus was telling us and telling them that he said, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole. In other words, they found the servant well that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after they went to a city called Nain. Come on. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people, many of them had gone, as the word of God said. And when he came near to the gates of the city, behold, there was a dead man. This man wasn't alive. This man wasn't sick like the other man was, but this man was sick. The other man was sick and ready to die. And Jesus spoke a word, and he was healed. But when Jesus had came unto this man, the word of God said that there was a dead man carried out, and he was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. They went to mourn with her because her son had died. They were carrying him away because he had died. They just carried him to have this service to bury him. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." The woman was weeping because she had lost her only son. Even if she had 12 sons, I believe that she would have been weeping because she loved that son. Just to think about, she wasn't going to be able to see this son anymore. But Jesus had compassion. He had pity on her. And he said, and he came and touched the briar, the coffin, and they that buried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. I believe the day that there is nothing too hard for God. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. The question is today, what are you asking? What are you believing? Are you believing the word of God as it says? The word of God says that he is able, that he is able to do these things, that there is nothing impossible with God. The Bible tells us to only believe. The word of God let us know that we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed and say to the mountain, "Be thou moved." The word of God says it shall be moved. So no matter what the situation it is, and no matter how it looked, because it didn't look really good. It didn't look good for this mother who had her only son being in a coffin, being carried to a resting place for him, per se, the thing was safe. But I'm saying to you today, no matter how bad it looks in certain instances, we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that there are things in our life that sometimes it does not look the way that we want them to look. But I proclaim to you today that there is nothing too hard for God. There have been so many instances. There have been so many things in the word of God that appoint us to the greatness of God, to the goodness of God. Don't you know that God has all power in his hand? Don't you know that he is the Alpha and Omega? He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. Don't you know that he has all power in his hand? Don't you know even that which seems to be dead, and the man was dead, the young man was dead, but God spoke to the body, he spoke to the spirit, he spoke to this young man. It wasn't his time to die. It wasn't his time. It was his time to live. And God, the Almighty God, had compassion on this mother and spoke the word, and this young man, he came back alive. He did not stay dead. And the same thing is often I think about Lazarus, how he was put in the tomb and how he was in the place where they, after he had been dead for 4 days, and everybody thought that it was over. Remember that Martha and Mary had sent for Jesus, and Jesus didn't come when they thought that he should come. And their Jesus' friend, his the man that Jesus loved, he died, and he was put away, and he was there for 4 days. And when Jesus came, Martha said to him, "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But it was the intent of Jesus not to go because he wanted them to see the power of him. He wanted them to know that there is nothing too hard for him to do. So he chose to wait. He waited with the disciples. Then he had gone. Then he had went to wake Lazarus out of sleep. They thought, the disciples thought that if he was sleeping, he did well. No, Jesus wasn't talking about that type of sleep. He let them know plainly that Lazarus was dead. We have to believe Jesus, even in difficult times. Yes, there are some difficult times that will come our way. There are some trying times that will come our way. The Bible says, even as Jesus has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. There, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that we are going to go through as being servants of a Most High God. There are some things that we're going to encounter. But all of these things will build our faith. Everything that Jesus did, everything that we see in the Word of God, it inspires us. It should build our faith. The Word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't see it. We've seen that the man in the 7th chapter of Luke, the man was dead. He was in a coffin. And most people would say it's over. Her only son is gone forever. But they didn't know that day that Jesus was going to wake him up. Jesus was going to bring him back alive. They didn't know that. But Jesus has all power in his hand. The centurion man that had sent for Jesus to heal his servant, he believed that God was able to do this thing. He believed that God was able to heal his servant. He knew that his servant was at the point of death. If there's somebody that you know is at the point of death, and you're saying that, oh, it's soon going to be over, they're soon going to die. But come on. Then why are you saying that? Because you heard the doctor say that. You heard the doctor give their report. But you're going to have to believe the living word. You're going to have to believe the word that God has spoken to us. If we can only believe. Believe in what? Believe in the doctor? Believe in the medicine? No. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is able to do these things. Believe that he is able to save and deliver. Believe that he is able to make free. Believe that he can do this thing. Just as the centurion believed that if they could, just if I send my elders to get to Jesus, tell him about my servant, he shall be healed, that he was going to be healed. And then, as we said before, he thought about it, because I believe that this man was so humble until he didn't even want, and when he thought about it, he sent word by his friends to tell him to go and tell Jesus, just speak the word. Because he wasn't worthy to come, that Jesus wasn't, he didn't feel that he was worthy for Jesus to come under his roof. He stopped telling how he ordered people around, tell the soldiers do this and does it. Oh, I'm not worthy to do this. I feel so unworthy. But he was saying, Jesus, if you just speak the word, that my servant will be healed. And so he was. When they returned, when the elders returned, he was healed. And Jesus was saying even before then that he had, after the man said what he did, the centurion said what he did, he had not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Come on. Can we find this faith in Jacksonville, Florida? Can we find this faith in Miami, Florida? Can we find this faith in Oklahoma, in Texas? Can we find this faith? All God wants us to believe his word. God wants us to stand on his word. See, one of the things about it is that without Christ, we can't do nothing. We can't do anything without Christ. But with Christ, we can do all things. We can. We can. God can use you and I. Come on. To open the eyes of the blind, that the blind will be able to see. Do you not remember in the Word of God that a man that was
lying from his mother's womb. He could, and often I say this because it's true anyhow, that the man could not, never had the opportunity to see. He didn't even know what his mother looked like. He didn't know what his dad looked like, his father. He could not see any colors. He didn't know what the moon or the sun looked like. He heard voices around him, and he could identify them with the sound of their voice, but he didn't know what they looked like. But Jesus caused this man that was born blind. Come on, I'm not talking about the man that just lost his sight because of glaucoma or some kind of eye infection. I'm talking about, and that would have been great. That would have been awesome. But to know that this man was blind from his mother's womb, this man was at a point where he was blind and he had to sit and he had to beg because of the fact that he could not see. I mean, what could he do? It wasn't much that he could do. He couldn't read unless somebody read to him. But I'm saying to you today that God is a God that has all, not some power, but he has all power in his hands. Do you not remember the woman that had the issue of blood? She had gone to doctor after doctor, and they could not heal her. She had a sickness that the doctor couldn't give her any medication that was going to take care of the problem. No matter how much she paid, it did not work. But when Jesus was in that town, the woman had made up her mind. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That's faith. That's believing God. That's standing on God's word. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, there's power in the hem of his garment. There's power in his clothing. It's power in him. And that same power that's in him is I'm going to be healed. That I'm going to be healed of my sickness. That I don't have to have this issue anymore. Because she had this thing, this issue of blood for many, many years. But she had faith to believe God. I'm saying to you today that we need faith so that we can believe God. So no matter what is going on in ourselves, that we can believe God, that he will manifest his healing power in us. And, you know, we need to begin to walk in faith. When you said, Dr. McCoy, I don't know whether God is going to do this. Why don't you try him? Why don't you begin to walk in faith? Why don't you begin to read the word of God and study the word of God? The word of God said to study to show thyself approved unto God. A woman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in order for us to have faith, we're going to have to hear the word of God. We're going to have to read the word of God. We're going to have to study the word of God. We're going to have confidence and faith in God to know that he is able to do this thing. Come on. Was it not Elisha was able to heal the woman that had housed him? And how the Shulamite woman, remember the Shulamite woman, how the boy was out there with his dad in the field, and the boy became sick, and they sent him back to the father, sent him to his mother, and as she held him in her lap, the boy died while he was in his mother's lap. But it was not over for her. She got up and she went for the man of God. She called for them to get this rig. She called for them to get this transportation that she was going to get the man of God. Why? Because she knew that he believed God. She knew that he had power to believe God no matter what. She knew the breath wasn't in this boy's body anymore. She knew that this boy had stopped breathing and the blood wasn't circulating. She knew that. But also she knew the power of God. She knew that there was somebody that had faith in God to heal her son. So when they went and they got the man of God, when he, after he got there, God performed a miracle in this boy's life. He that was dead came back alive again. Why? Because the man of God didn't tell the woman, go bury him. But he came, and he spoke into this boy's life. He laid upon him. He breathed in him. And the Lord began to cause life to be manifested in this boy's life. Come on. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that God cannot do. If we can stand on the word of God, if we can believe God, what is it? Is it that house note that you need to be paid? Are they threatening you to put you out of your house? Is it a mortgage? What is it that you need God to do on your behalf? There is nothing too hard for you to do. The Bible tells us that he will open the windows of heaven. He said that he will pour out blessings, that there be not room enough to receive. And he said that you were rebuked and devoured for our faith. And when we can stand and we can believe his word. And that's why I'm telling you today, if you can have faith in God, if you can believe God, if you can believe him enough to pay your tithe, not sometimes, all the time. I have experienced God in my life. Why? Because I am a tithe payer. I pay my tithe. I give in my offering. And I have seen God time after time move on my behalf. Even before the day is out. You know, when I'm thinking about something that there may be a need, a desire, something that I need God to move on my behalf. I've seen God use people to do these things on my behalf. Why? Because I was faithful to God. You know what? You know, as we began to give of ourselves, we began to let God bless us, and as we began to bless God, shall I say, as we began to bless God, you know, as you began to bless God and give to God, God is going to bless you. The word of God that is going to open the windows of heaven and pours out blessings that there'll be not room enough to receive. The more that I give, the more I want to give. And when I'm seeing this move of God, I'm saying, Lord, you know, I want to give more. I see that you're doing this in my life, and therefore I want to give more. But I'm saying to you, it's time for us to give of ourselves. It's time for us to believe God like the centurion did. Like God seen he had compassion and pity upon this woman, that son was already being carried away and to be buried. And like they had already, as I said before, buried or put a Lazarus in the tomb. And that's why Martha said he'd been dead for 4 days. But we have to believe that our God that we serve is a right now God, that is a God that can do anything. And I just love what that centurion did. He said, Lord, just speak the word. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be whole. We need to start exercising our faith. We need to exercise our faith. And don't give up. It may not happen when you say, when you begin to do certain things, and don't give up. Believe God, because it's not about you. It's all about God. It is all about God. This centurion, he believed God the very first time. We believe him when he sent his elder to get Jesus to come and heal his servant. And then he got greater faith when he said, no, God, don't come under my roof. I'm not worried for you to come under my roof. He knew what he did. We already know in the Word of God tell us that this man seemed to be a really good man because of the things that he did, how he cared for the people, how he built them a synagogue. But he told them, as I rehearsed the matter again, that he didn't want him to come under his roof. He felt unworthy for him to come under the roof. But he said, speak the word. And that's why I'm saying to you today, if you know somebody's sick, begin to speak the word. You may can't take a flight and go and see about them, but you can speak the word. Come on. Speak the word that person will be healed, that person will be delivered. Speak the word that God will change the heart and the mind of that individual that others have given up on. There are many people that's in jail, in prison, that you need to speak the word on their behalf, that God would touch them, that God would deliver them. There are people in your neighborhood that need to be healed and that need deliverance in their life. These people are on dope. They are drug dealers. They are, some of these people have done terrible things. But we have to speak the word, you know, that God would change their lives and that their heart would be not hardened and that they would accept him as their Lord and Savior. You know, I think about sometimes Saul in the book of Acts, how so many times that we see the acts of Saul. I mean, a man of God. I mean, before he became a man of God, this man was terrible. This man was not to be trusted. This man put the people, the disciples of Christ, in prison. People that were serving God, he put them in prison. And he went after them with a passion. But there one day, when he was on his way to continue to do what he was doing, God stopped him. And God spoke unto him. And I just believe after that Saul, whose name was James of Paul, he was not the same anymore. There are some people that you don't want to be that you should pray that you don't want them to be the same anymore. God changed you. God changed me. Because the Word of God said we were all sinners. The Bible said we were all sinners. But the Word of God said that, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and me, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody needs eternal life. Somebody needs everlasting life. So it's time for us to be about our Father's business and to pray. The Bible says man should always pray and not to faint. There's no time for us fainting. We can't afford to faint. We can't afford to give up. Giving up on people. Giving up on ourselves. Giving up on situations. You know, it's time for us to pray and believe God. We're getting ready to go before the throne of God, of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, even as we pray, we ask thee, Jesus, to look upon every man, boy, every girl. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, even now that you look upon the sinner. And God, that you, Father God, would save and deliver. Now, God, no matter what they have done, I ask you, Lord, to forgive them for their sin. God, even if you had compassion, and Lord, even God, the man that was on the cross with you, Lord God, you forgave him for his sins and his transgressions. And Father God, we dare not try to judge, be judgmental, and try to say that this man, this woman, this boy, this girl cannot be saved. Lord, you said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you said that we shall be saved. I see God to save, deliver, and to make free. Lord, cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. God, don't let us see what people are doing. Don't let us, Father God, automatically put them in hell. But Lord God, let us see a way out. God, let us show them a way out that they don't have to go to hell. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, do it even now. Those that need healing, I pray, God, that God know that we don't look at what the doctor says. We look at it, we hear him, but, God, we look at you after what you say. And, Father, we thank you right now for every diagnosis that has been given unto man, unto people. Lord, I pray, God, that it's not good. I pray, God, even now, God, that we send the word. Even now, we send the word. We send the word, Father God, over the airways, God, that they will be healed and that they will be delivered. And that, God, that you are able to do this thing to bring about a healing in their body. And, God, we pray even now, arthritis, bursitis, Father, in the name of Jesus, those that have liver problems, heal right now. Those that are having problems, God, and sickness in their kidney, oh, God, heal right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God. Those, God, in the name of Jesus, that are suffering with migraine headaches, Lord God, heal right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, those that are blind and cannot see, Lord, heal them right now. Oh, God, even if you heal the man that was born blind, heal right now. Oh, God, those that have glaucoma, those, God, in the name of Jesus, have infection in their eyes, and, God, they no longer can see. Lord, we pray healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you, and we praise you, God, for what you're about to do. Touch that boy, touch that girl, touch that man, touch that woman that is not saved. Save them, God, because you're able to save to the uttermost. And this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We want you to tune in on this coming Wednesday at the same time. As the Lord began to speak to you, as God began to build up your faith, that God would let you see that there is nothing too hard for God, that he is God, and that he is God all by himself. May God bless and keep you, is our prayer.